You have to run to God when you're in the midst of the evil day, because you're now engaged in spiritual warfare.
And when that happens, Dr. Tony Evans says earthly help is no help at all.
And if it's hell out to get you, you don't need more people, you need more heaven.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. For many people, prayer is just a friendly thank you to God before a meal. But today, Dr. Evans explains how easily it can become your only defense when things get desperate. You'll want to turn to Ephesians 6:10 as we join him.
Paul is writing, and he concludes his treatise to the church at Ephesus to talk to them about the battleground of life. We call it spiritual warfare. But he's not just talking about any kind of battle. He describes this one specifically by calling it the evil day. The evil day. The evil day is when all hell breaks loose on you. He says when that day comes, when that period of time, when you're under major assault comes, he says, I want you to understand how to approach this. Because he says on that day, you're going to need the strength of the Lord, verse 10. Normal stuff is not going to work. And he wants to set the plan in place for how you're going to make it through the evil day. He says, the first thing I want you to understand is that you wrestle not against flesh and blood. In other words, people aren't the source of your problem. They may be the conduit for your problem, but they're not the source of your problem. For we, Christians, wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and world forces that are located in heavenly places or the spiritual realm. So if you address the resource without addressing the source, all you've done is created a delay for it to come back up again. On the evil day, when you're in this season of attack, I want you to stand firm, which means to hold your ground in the Lord. He says, be strong in the Lord, to hold your spiritual ground. It is easy to be swayed and moved off of center when you're suffering. It is easy to be swayed and moved off of the source of your hope when you're going through it and you see no exit sign. It is easy to be moved. But he says during those times, when you are under assault and your world is being stripped from right underneath you, he calls it the evil day. He says, during that time, I want you to grab more tightly your faith. Don't loosen it up. Stand firm. It reminds me of the story back in Western days of the father and son who were trying to escape the prairie fire. But the fire was moving so fast that they could not outrun it. The father took his son to a parched parcel of land, and he stood there as the fire swept around them. The son looked at his father and said, run, daddy, run, daddy, run, daddy, run. He said, no, son, we're going to stand right here. He said, but daddy, the fire is all around us. You got to run, daddy, run. He says, we can't outrun this fire, son. We're going to stand right here. The son said, but why are we going to stand right here, daddy, when the fire is all around us? He says, son, when you look around, you see where we're standing has already been burnt. It has already been parched. So the fire can't hurt where we're standing because the fire has already been here. So even though we're surrounded by fire, we're safe in the midst of fire because where we are standing has already been under fire. When you are under the fire of oppression, when you're under the fire of the evil one, when you're under fire of demonic attack, when you're under the fire of suffering, he says you take your stand on the ground where Jesus Christ has already been burnt for you, where Jesus Christ has already suffered for you, You grab a hold of the strength that the Lord has to offer. You do not run away from God when you are in the evil day. You have to run to God when you're in the midst of the evil day, because you're now engaged in spiritual warfare. And we got to stand strong in the midst of a battle that humans can't tell us how to win. When your world is being attacked, in whatever way it's being attacked, that's not the time to run from him. It's the time to run to him. It's not the time to evade him. It's the time to embrace him. He says, stand firm. Hold on to your faith in the strength of our Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of the suffering, the pain, and in the midst of the struggle. He then tells you how to dress for spiritual success. He gives you the armor of God. He tells you, I want you to get dressed for the battle. Now, when you're in a military parade, they show the weapons. When you're in a war, you use the weapons. Because in the evil day, this is not showtime at the Apollo. This is time when you've got to get dressed. He says you've got to put on truth, put on righteousness, put on peace. He goes on, he says you've got to put on faith. He says you've got to put on the helmet of salvation. Then he says you've got to use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. He gives these six pieces of spiritual arsenal or spiritual armor that the believer is to utilize when it comes to taking a stand in the evil day, or when you're under spiritual attack and spiritual oppression that's affecting your physical, financial, circumstantial, emotional, family well-being. Take your stand harder than you've ever taken it before, but put on this armor. But now, you may not remember all the pieces of the armor. So let's make it easy. Because Romans chapter 13, verse 14 says, put on Christ. If you can't remember all the pieces, remember this one. Put on Christ. Why? Because he says, I want you to put on truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says, I want you to put on righteousness. Scripture says, Christ is our righteousness. He says, put on peace. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, but I give you my peace. He says, put on the helmet of salvation. Scripture is clear. Jesus is the author and finisher of our salvation. And then he says, put on the Word of God. Use the sword of the Spirit. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus says he is the Word. So if you don't remember truth, remember Jesus. If you don't remember righteousness, remember Jesus. If you don't remember peace, remember Jesus. If you don't remember faith, remember Jesus. If you don't remember the helmet of salvation, remember Jesus. If you don't remember the Bible, remember Jesus, because Jesus is the full armor of God. You put on Christ, you become centered in him. This is not belief in God. This is centered in God's Son, who is the revelation of God, the manifestation of God, who is the power of God to manifest himself, particularly in the evil day. Now, you want to do it all the time, but you better do it in the evil day. When the doctors don't have answers, when the bankers don't have answers, when your friends don't have answers, and sure enough, when you don't have answers, you need to be centered on the person of Jesus Christ and all the tools that he offers you. But he says, you got to put him on. The question is, how do you put him on? That's where verse 18 comes in. Let me read it again. He says in verse 18, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. He comes along and he says, now, this is what you put on. They sum up the person of Christ, But the way you put them on is through prayer. Our series has been on prayer. He comes to spiritual warfare. When you're in the fight of your life, you better pray like you've never prayed before. The way you put on Christ, that is, practically utilize him to equip you to move through the battle you face, is with prayer. When he talks about the evil day, will you notice all the time he uses the word all? He deals with the scope of prayer. The seriousness of prayer is that we're in a battle. It's the evil day. But notice he says, all prayer, all times. He says, all perseverance, all petition, all the saints. Last time I checked, all means all, and that's all that all means. He says, you stay in touch with me, and you do it all. So obviously, he's not talking about getting on your knees all day. He's not talking about being in your closet all day. He's talking about staying in touch with him all day. That's why 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. In other words, stay in touch with me. Sometimes it's going to be while you're driving, you and God are going to be having a conversation. Sometimes while you walk into the car to get in the car, to start the car, to begin driving, you're going to be in touch with me. When you get out the car and on your way to your office, you and I are going to have a brief conversation. When you walk to the bathroom during the day, you're going to have a little quick conversation with me about what you're facing and what you're going through. Then you're going to have those formal times of devotions and formal times of prayer. Then sometimes you're going to be in the middle of a conversation with somebody, so you can't verbally talk, but you're going to think my thoughts in your mind and communicate with me with your mind during those times, because you're being attacked. It's the evil day. Hell is out to get you. And if it's hell out to get you, you don't need more people, you need more heaven. And if it's hell out to get you, you better get heaven on your side.
There's another key to effective prayer when we're fighting spiritual battles, and Dr. Evans will tell us about it when he comes back in a moment to continue this lesson from his brand new series, Igniting Kingdom Prayer. As we've been learning, kingdom prayer isn't just any prayer. It starts with understanding God's comprehensive authority over every area of life. This series will help you get your mind around that idea and connect you with the power that's available when we make the Lord's agenda our first priority. We'll send you this collection of 12 full-length CDs as our way of saying thanks when you make a donation to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. As a special bonus, we'll send it to you along with Tony's new book, Praying Through the Names of Jesus. The Lord is described many different ways in Scripture, and each one tells us something about His character, His power, and how He wants to relate with us. You'll find a lot of comfort in these pages as you learn that there's a name that covers every need you face. So be sure to take advantage of this special double offer before it runs out on Friday. I'll tell you how to make the arrangements right after this.
Are you ready for devotions?
Yeah. And have I told you how happy I am we're getting into the Word together?
Now you have, and I am too. So let's see. We were in 2 Corinthians 5, and it says, now, who could that be?
Hi, I'm not late, am I?
Late? Wait, you're Tony Evans. Honey, it's Tony Evans.
I'm sorry. It sounded like you said that. Wait, you're Tony Evans.
Yeah.
Hold it. What do you mean late?
For Bible study, 2 Corinthians 5, right?
You want to join us for...
I've got some great background on that chapter, and there's a powerful verse in there about substitutionary atonement. Don't worry. I'll walk you through it and explain everything. Let's get started. This is going to be fun.
Wouldn't it be great if you could have one of America's top teachers and theologians right by your side as you study God's Word? Well, even if it doesn't happen in person, it can with the help of the brand new Tony Evans Study Bible. Inspirational articles, questions and answers, definitions, devotionals, links to over 150 of his most popular sermons, inspirational videos, and more. The Tony Evans Study Bible, available now at TonyEvans.org.
The Tony Evans Study Bible and Commentary
Two of the most important tools you can have on hand if you're serious about understanding Scripture. They're both brand new and going so fast that the publisher had to print more to keep up with the demand. Get yours today at TonyEvans.org or call our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222. I'll repeat that information later on after Dr. Evans brings us part two of today's lesson.
But he tells you something else, and it's the key. He says, pray in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. But just as it is written, things which eye have not seen, and ear hath not heard, and which has not been entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us God revealed them. He's not talking about heaven, he's talking about earth. To us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. The reason why you must pray in the Spirit is because the Spirit will do a Google search for you. He says the Spirit searches the depths of God. See, when you're in the evil day, that means folk can't help you. When you're in the evil day, they have limitations that they can do for you. And you need something that eye have not seen, ear hath not heard, and the imagination is not conceived of. You need the supernatural to enter into the natural. And guess what the Holy Spirit does? He Googles, because God knows more than anybody you know. He Googles, God, we have this problem. What's in our system that man does not have that you can make available to them? You better be able to pray in the Spirit. Galatians 5 says this about the Spirit. Verse 16, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. He says there is a battle, and it's a battle between the Spirit and the flesh. The flesh is the desire to please yourself as opposed to pleasing God. We all battle with the flesh. Now, let me clarify something. Being in the Spirit is not necessarily an emotional experience. In other words, you don't always feel it. Just because you shout it don't mean you're in the Spirit. You're experiencing an emotional high. You get that at football games, baseball games, basketball games, concerts. You get emotional highs. Nothing wrong with an emotional high. But if that emotional high is not connected with the mind of Christ, it is purely emotionalism. It is not spirituality. He says, walk in the Spirit. So let's follow that. You're walking. What are you doing? You're moving. So to be in the Spirit is not a passive thing. You are operating on what God says. You're acting like God is telling the truth. You are moving. The euphemism of walking in the Bible means to live according to. So this is how you roll, because you're moving with the mind of Christ. You're not just doing that on Sunday morning when it's church time. When you go to work, you're working with the mind of Christ. When you're being a husband or wife, you're doing that with the mind of Christ. When you are dealing with friends, you're doing that with the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ puts you in the realm of the Spirit. And when you're operating that way, he says it will overrule the flesh. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the desire. Please don't misread that. He didn't say you won't have the desire. Walk in the Spirit and it will overrule the desire of the flesh. The capacity to do what you need to do or what God wants done will be activated in your experience as you walk in the Spirit. Now, many times people will say, I'm praying, but nothing is happening. Well, let me explain. If you catch a fish, you pull a fish out the water, this is what that fish is going to be doing. Its mouth is going to be opening and closing, and its gills are going to be flexing. You know what that fish is trying to do? Survive. That fish is trying to breathe. It's trying to survive. But that fish is going to die. And the reason that fish is going to die is he's trying to do it in the wrong environment. He's doing the right thing in the wrong environment. And when you're doing the right thing, but you're doing it in the wrong environment, the right thing won't work. Or if we as humans went into the water and tried to breathe and started to inhale and exhale, you're doing the right thing, but you're doing it in the wrong environment. Many Christians pray, they're doing the right thing, but they're doing it in the flesh. They're doing it in the wrong environment. And if you're doing the right thing in the wrong environment, the right thing won't work. So just because you say your prayers in the morning, say grace at dinner, and say your bedtime prayer, that's the right thing. But the question is, have you been walking in the right environment? The Bible says the Holy Spirit guides us. He pulls us. Now you can walk. You should walk, but you're walking on some power. You're walking on some strength because you're walking with the mind of the Spirit, consistent with the revelation and word of God, so that he can override. And so you begin to flow in it, even though you still have to walk, and even though you may have a ways to go.
And Dr. Evans will come back in a moment to leave us with a real-life example, so stay with us. First, though, today's message was called Prayer and Spiritual Warfare, and it's available as a part of Tony's current series, Igniting Kingdom Prayer. There are 12 messages in this brand new collection, packed with material we didn't have time to bring you on the air, and they're yours as our thank you gift when you make a contribution to help support this ministry. There's no way we can continue this broadcast without the faithfulness of listeners just like you, and we really need your help between now and the end of the year to make up for a summer shortfall. Again, if you contact us by Friday, we'll also include the book I told you about earlier, Praying Through the Names of Jesus, as a special bonus. Visit TonyEvans.org today to make the arrangements. When you do, don't forget to pick up copies of the brand new Tony Evans Study Bible and Commentary. They draw from Tony's 50 years of study, teaching, and preaching, making them two of the best resources you can have by your side anytime you study God's Word. They make the perfect additions to your personal study library and great Christmas gifts as well. So get your copies today at TonyEvans.org. You know, we all face hard times in life, but when we're stopped in our tracks by a real crisis, it's easy to feel helpless and lose hope. Well, tomorrow, Dr. Evans will share solid advice on how to cope and show us why our hard times often serve a higher purpose. Right now, though, he's back to wrap up our time together today.
And so we cry out to God and trust God. But you have your evil day. Well, you will. And if we make prayer a lifestyle, walking in the Spirit a lifestyle and not a visit. Don't treat the Spirit like you treat church. Don't just come for a visit. No, he says you roll with me and you stay in contact with me all day, every day, short, long, fast, slow. When we contact God, if the timing is wrong, he'll say slow. If the request is wrong, he'll say no. If we are wrong, he'll say grow. But if the request is right, the time is right, and we are right, sooner or later, he'll say go. So I want this to be known as a house of prayer. Praise God for great music. Praise God for preaching. All of that's critical to worship. But if we don't make contact with heaven, all we did was come to an event. A religious event. But if we as a church will cry out to God, and when God meets you in your evil day, however that happens, sometimes he takes you through it, sometimes he delivers you out of it, and sometimes he just gives you the strength to deal with it. He does it in all kind of ways, but however he decides to do it, you'll know he's right there in the midst. He changes your perspective in the midst of your evil day.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.